As I said before, I'm from Wisconsin, and I really wanted to talk about the Brendan Dassey and Stephen Avery case, which you wrote a book about.
Yeah.
I'm about halfway through it, and I don't think the camera got it before, but we were talking, and it just makes me angry reading that, and I have to put the book down sometimes. Like, I find it easier to read about, like, 20th century genocide than it is to read sometimes books like that, where that sort of corruption gets rewarded within... I think you described it as an Alice in Wonderland justice system in Wisconsin. And could you briefly explain that? Because it's a very long story, and you have many videos on that on your YouTube channel, so people can go and check those out. But basically, these two men got wrongly convicted, coerced, confession, and one of them was actually legally a child at the time, 16-year-old Brendan Dassey.
It's heartbreaking when you watch Making a Murderer to see how these guys were set up and the extent of the corruption. And I've been ranting and raving about that for 10 years prior to that being aired. So I was like, thank goodness for Netflix.
Now,
you might think that that was an extrapolation. That was just one case of these people, you know, these corrupt people doing this. But now, thanks to Netflix, we've got the Central Park 5. We've got the West Memphis 3. We've got the confession tapes. We've got the staircase. We can see this is happening over and over and over. And in my book, Unmaking a Murderer, each chapter is one of the methods that the prosecutors, the detectives, that law enforcement use, a strategy they use to frame innocent people. And it just breaks my heart that Brendan Dassey was taken out of his school, basically told if he confessed to a torture, rape, murder with Stephen Avery, he would be allowed to go home and watch WrestleMania. And when Brendan Dassey couldn't give the police the correct details, they said to him, well, what did you do to her head, Brendan? What did you and Stephen do to her head? They wanted him to say that he'd shot her in the head, the victim. And Brendan said, we cut her hair. No, Brendan, you didn't cut her. Oh, we punched her in the face. It's guess the answer. And Brendan fails the test of guess the answer. So the detective just says, no, Brendan, you didn't do any of those things. Just tell us who shot her in the head. Oh, Stephen shot her in the head. Mm. When that goes to trial, all the jury hears is that Brendan confessed that Stephen shot her in the head. They don't see all this other manipulation that comes before it. This is how sick these people are to kidnap a child from school, mislead them into thinking that they're going to be able to go home to watch WrestleMania and confess to this heinous crime while an actual rapist, murderer, torturer is still out there.
And he's also, from what I understand, mentally challenged. Is that true?
His IQ, I believe Brendan Dassey's was in the 70s. And there is not a shred of physical evidence that Brendan has committed any crime whatsoever. Mm. And in fact, he's such a peaceful, harmless person that in the prison system that he's been in now for over 10 years, if he was a violent person, he would have got some disciplinary tickets for having that nature. Brendan Dassey's disciplinary ticket in the prison system was for trading a ramen noodle soup. And people just trade things all day long in prison. That's someone just giving him a ticket for the hell of it.
Mm. I have a friend who's he's a black gentleman. He's older than me. And he's gotten, I think, used to getting harassed by authorities at times. And he put it very poignantly, I think. He says they just see you as points, kind of like points to add up to improve their careers, essentially. And regardless of how they can accrue those points, they're going to do it, which I think was a good metaphor.
I woke up to this because in the county jail, my lawyer, Alan Simpson, he got Ray Crone off death row, snaggletooth killer. He was a postman. He'd been at a bar. Waitress was found dead because he'd been at the bar late that night. They thought he'd done it. Now, there was a bite mark and there was DNA. His DNA didn't match. His teeth didn't match. State of Arizona paid an expert witness $50,000 to say that his teeth matched. It's so common now in America. It's called testy lying. They gave Ray $5,000 to defend himself and spent millions putting on this theater show to show that he'd done it. If you've got $5,000 to defend yourself when you're in court, how are you going to compete against the, you know, the millions of the state? You can't. Court's theater. It's not facts. They get out these pictures of the victims and show the wounds and get the jury having this emotional reaction. And then they talk about the victims' family members and get the jury having another emotional reaction. And that's it. Then once they've got this emotional side of the brain taking over, they swing these juries to get guilt. And guilt came down. Ray had been with his mum that night. His mum almost had a heart attack in the courtroom. He was in hours of getting executed multiple times. Stays of execution coming in. My lawyer, Alan Simpson, sued the state of Arizona to release the DNA. Didn't want to release it. It matched a predator who was in the prison system and he confessed to a murder and it could have been solved just like that. But they don't want to give these DNA tests to guys because if they're proven innocent, they have to pay millions in compensation to some of them. The careers of the prosecutors, they've built their careers on these convictions. So they would rather execute an innocent person than have their own careers unwind. That is state-sanctioned murder. There are bigger criminals in the justice system than there are in the prison system. And the other reason they don't want an innocent person to be released is because they've gone to the victims, family members, and assured them we have got the right person. We've got the murderer. This person has been brought to justice. You know, you are now, you know. And once you've looked into a victim's family member's eyes and told them that, how do you think then it would feel to go back and say we had the wrong person? It's all about ego and egg on the face. So they would rather not pay these guys DNA tests and execute innocent people than have those consequences arise.
They want to save face rather than
save face, save money, and protect their careers. Because a lot of them end up running for political office.